Welcome to the That Pitch Podcast. The That Pitch Podcast helps music producers and artists tap into the world of sync licensing, publishing, music business, and more. So if you are tired of trying to make it and are more interested in making a living, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Mark, the founder of ThatPitch.com. Today, I'm joined by Riley Corbin, a music producer based in Kansas City, Missouri, who landed his first placement with us. It took us 20 minutes to get this set up. What's up, Riley?
What's up, Mark? We're finally here.
For anybody listening, it literally took us like 10 or 20 minutes to get any of this working. So, that's dope. Anyways, let's continue. firstly, congrats on your first placement with us. We're going to listen to your track later in the episode.
Sounds good.
But firstly, so you're a producer, you're based in Kansas City. Again, not one of these, like, you know, I always talk about here how a lot of the badass music getting put out today is not necessarily in New York, London, or LA. It's everywhere else. So yeah, dude, I know you produce a bunch of artists. You're killing it. How's everything in Kansas City? How's the scene? How's your career going? Everything, dude.
You know, it's going good. My career has like picked up a bunch, or at least just like my workload recently.
You're telling me.
I was, yeah. Had a mindset shift a couple months back and was just like, all right, like, you know, obviously everything with the pandemic gets everybody down. You're trying to figure it out. And something just clicked for me and started back up. And it was like the universe was like, here, dude, I got stuff for you. And just started handing me things. So I went from working on two clients to five, kind of six, like five and a half, you know, landing my first song with That Pitch and just kind of like snowballing from here. So things are going good. Kansas City's great. You know, where our local live music scene is starting to pick up lots of new bands. It feels like a really fresh start for a lot of people.
Yeah. So I'm interested to know kind of, you said you had a big mindset shift.
Yeah.
I know during the pandemic, a lot of people were really negative and just saying, hey, the music industry is screwed now. Whereas the way I was looking at it is like, well, if live is slowing down, there's more value in recorded music than ever because everyone's at home listening, using it. Everyone's a content creator now. There's more needs for it. What was kind of your big, I remember like when we first met, when you first became a member, you were kind of going through a transition of stuff.
Yeah.
What was kind of a big mindset shift on that? And like, what was the catalyst, do you think?
For me, it was recognizing like, during the pandemic, I was kind of going in one direction, very much thinking in terms of like an old way of thinking for the music industry in terms of like what producers look like. I'm like, oh, I got to learn to record. I have to have a space. I have to have all these things. And I always was like seeing friction within myself for that. I'm like, I don't want a lot of this. Like, gear's cool, but like, I don't want a lot of it. Like, it's like things to pay for, things to fix, all these different things. And the biggest shift for me was just being like, bro, like, I've got good skills as a producer. I can make it work. And even more so, the internet, man. Like, you can make it work across the country. You don't have to be in the same city. And the second that that clicked for me, just like talking to a couple other people that were doing it, they're like, yeah, I just do this. I'm like, man, I'm making this way too complicated. And so I just started saying, yeah, I'm open to do it. And had like two or three people just be like, yo, I would love to work with you. I've wanted to work with you, but I can't because I'm not in your city. And they never thought about it. So it's just that like quick shift to being like, yeah, dude, you can do it from anywhere. And I'm open to work with you from anywhere. And it's been a great shift. Like, music is getting made. It's better. It's faster. It's less friction. We're all having more fun. And I'm like, man, it's only good times from here.
Yeah. When I was, so, I mean, my career was really built off of producing full time remote. I was like, one of the early dudes on Instagram that was posting, you know, 15 second, you know, production clips of me making like indie pop and synth pop tracks. And, you know, I was studying like old school marketing stuff because there was nothing online. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, if you want to work with me, click the link in my bio. Or we didn't even have links. So it was like, just DM me or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of realized pretty, early on too, like, of, hey, you really don't, to some records, you know, if it's a big rock record and everybody needs to be in the same room, yep, or whatever, you know, that could make sense. But I mean, for pop, hip hop, indie pop, R&B, the vast majority of stuff where you're really just working with a single writer, everything can be done remote. In fact, a lot of times I think it gets done better because you're not dealing with a bunch of drama or anything. You're literally just working on something together for a single purpose.
Totally. And I feel like, so I work with a lot of indie folk artists and like indie rock bands. And so I've kind of been in that. I think it's people that play that type of music are kind of lagging in the industry in terms of like being open to more creative approaches about things where they're like, oh yeah, well, don't we have to be in the same room to record? And I'm like, not everything. And also I'm like, I can do most of it. Like, it's okay if you don't have to play it. Or being open to extending, like, I think drums is always the hiccup for people, especially not in that pop R&B realm, because they're trying to get that live drum sound. And I'm like, well, we can try to record it, or, you know, we can find someone that can program their performance and we can send it over. But like, basically just being like, okay, man, let's be open to more creative ways of just getting the recorded music together. At least at, for independent artists too, it's like, man, let's be realistic about your budget and how we can keep doing this long term. So
yeah, and that's another thing. Like, I always approached production, even now, like with our licensing clients, it's we're negotiating with a company out of Amsterdam right now, and I had a call with their executive team, and I was basically just saying, you know, because we were talking about price points and everything and the rights that they need and just all that stuff. And I was like, what is a deal structure that is going to make you guys work with us 10 years from now? That's what I'm after. I don't really care what next month looks like. Just what's, how can we just like be part of what you guys do? You know?
Yeah.
And I think people respect that. Like, our industry is so filled with people who never made a dollar.
Mm.
So as soon as they get offered a dollar, they're like, how can I get as much of it as possible?
Yeah.
And because you're so short-sighted and you're like, this is, and you know, you can be ignorant of like, this is the only time I'm going to get money. You try to get as much as you can. And it actually makes you look so bad because you're so focused on getting as much juice as you can from this squeeze, that the negotiations back and forth, all this stuff becomes so annoying, even if you are worth that much.
Yeah.
Between legal fees or whatever, they're just so annoyed with you. They don't even want to work with you in the future.
Man, that's a great point. Like, lowering the friction of working with people. Oof.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you can do.
I was talking to like, you know, I'm relating over this because I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just like, make it easy. I was in a group text this morning. I was talking about this deal, and is the deal a slam dunk? No, it's not, but it's an okay deal. It's fine. And it's like, I think that is what people don't talk about in the music industry, is that you're not just gonna pop up overnight. You're just laying brick, and it's so boring, and it's over time, just grow little by little. It's not sexy. Most of your days are going to be pretty boring. And that is actually success. Like, that's what
totally.
It really
looks like. Yeah.
You know?
And that is exactly what you're hitting on. Is like, my baseline mind shift was that I'm like, not that I didn't think it was going to be long term, but no one really walks you through what the day to day of long term looks like. And what,
oh my God,
setting like more achievable goals. And like, there's so many things, like, I've been more into reading about like personal productivity or like taking care of myself and realizing like there is no music creativity. There's no good work in the music industry without taking care of those things for myself first. And that shift was a huge game changer, just to be like, okay, I can only work this much for like good work during a week. And anything past that is actually just hurting me. So like, getting really good about my schedule, getting really good about these like really non-sexy things has been a massive increase in being like, oh, I'm seeing steady growth. I'm seeing things that make me excited. I'm like, now I'm going to celebrate those little wins and be like, hell yeah. Like, landed my first song with that pitch. Let's go.
Right.
Next one.
I don't know if this has been the case for you, but like, when, you know, when I was younger, I was like, you know, the music kid, right? Mm-hmm. And you had all the jocks, right? Mm-hmm. And so you look at them like doing their fucking push-ups and like doing all their workouts or whatever. And here you are as like the dweeby you know, drummer kid who's surrounded by all the kids doing drugs, and you're like, oh, fuck that, dude. It's like, I don't want to deal with that. And you get older and you're like creaky and you're just like, ugh, getting up. And then, you know what? Going to the gym, like they got a good point.
Totally.
Like, they got a really good point to this. Like taking care of yourself, like positive, like just positivity, surrounding yourself with good people. There's a lot of just like, I think people in music just think they're different than anybody else, but like we're all the same species.
Yeah. We're working with the same stuff, man. We're just trying to do different things.
Yeah. We got the same machine, baby.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you either treat it well or treat it like shit. But I think that's important. So you were talking about, you've been growing your, you know, production business. Have you, cause I would imagine, you know, my entire production career has been remote for the most part. There's been a couple of stuff that came out of Charlotte that I was a part of, but the vast majority of stuff has been remote. Back then I had some blowback a little bit when it was remote, just starting out. This was probably 2015 or 16, you know, like early days of Instagram sort of stuff. But do you ever get blowback for like remote production work? And like, how do you make sure that artists that you're working with get a great experience with you? Because there's a reason they're paying you and they like working with you. I mean, they continue to work with you. So a lot of that is the experience of how it was working with you.
Yeah. I think it's always a work in progress. I think being like a person who's very open to receiving feedback about things, being like, hey, how's it going? Or what we're talking about earlier with friction. I think I got advice early on where it was like, make sure everyone's going through, you know, your one way of communication, make sure that they're only emailing you. And I was really hard asked about that for a long time. And people, I think it doesn't work for everyone. And I'm learning that everyone's different. There's people that are, you know, just have different needs that they need for communication that's more difficult for them to communicate. And the more that I started just trying to meet people where they are in an experience, not over compromising on my end, but being realistic, but like, it's okay if I text someone, especially if they pay me as much as they do. It's okay if, you know, someone is asking to get on the phone with me because it is going to make them feel more comfortable. You know, like I have an artist I'm working with in Arizona, and they've recorded with me before, and they've recorded with me in person in the past. And they were like, okay, how are we going to do this? And I was like, you got this, you know what you can do. Like, I just need you to set up the mic and we'll walk through it together. And being able to be like, hey, we'll get on the phone and do it together. It was a huge thing to just kind of ease their, you know, anxieties about it. And so honestly, man, I feel like a lot of it is just being honest. Like even us having the problem earlier with trying to get things right, it's like, hey, we're human. We're just showing up. I think people want to not feel like it's like a cold interaction. And always
I'm a walking train wreck, and I let everybody know that, you know, I don't even know how, honestly, bro, I have no idea how the hell I ended up here, but somehow I did. So I'm making the best of it and trying my best.
Well, that's the big, I think it's a huge thing though, is everyone's like, yo, everyone's cool as shit. They're out here just slaying every day. And it's like, actually, no, everyone, you are probably doing just as well as them. Trust me. And all you got to do is keep going forward little by little and not get in your own way.
I'd say that's the most important part, is just like not letting yourself be your biggest problem. Actually, I talked to one of my buddies this morning overseas. He is a producer by trade. He also kind of got into like the music tech sort of space, also runs a marketing company like for playlisting. He's just a great guy and like does really good work. And he was telling me like he's kind of just like scared to grow what he's doing. And I was like,
yeah,
I was like, why? And he's like, well, because like, you know, there's haters online and like, you know, I know there's other people out there that might do like a better job, but like, I know I do a really good job. And I just like, I'm scared to like deal with more of that shit. I'm like, that's never going to go away. You know?
Yeah.
He was like, I really hate that I have a thin skin. I'm like, well, I'm really glad to know you're not a psychopath either. You know, there's a lot of power in being relatable and a good person, but that shouldn't, I think you know, early on when I started that pitch, there were a lot of haters because we were doing something pretty different. You know, we're kind of like in the new age of music licensing where instead of landing one deal for 40 grand every year, we land $2,400 deals, you know? So it's just, it's a different way to look at it because
totally
how content's being consumed, they have smaller budgets, but there's a lot more content. So it's like, let's just serve that. And I had a lot of people talk mad shit early on because they were like, no, this isn't normal sync, blah, blah, blah. You must be taking cut. I'm like, no, we pay out 100%. These are just how the deals work, you know? And but that's why we're landing so many.
Yeah.
And they were like, because I fundamentally believe this is the future of licensing.
Like 1,000% agree. I'm out here preaching the good news and it's blowing people's mind. They're like, what do you mean? I was like, trust me. This is like possible. They're like, wait, what?
Are you on TikTok and YouTube more than you're going to AMC and watching cable? Like, of course. Well, that's where they're paying you from. So, you know,
I think there's what you were saying earlier about, is there friction from people with working together? I'm noticing that the younger somebody is, the more open they are to working online and the more open they are to change and all these things. And I'm like, I think there's just a level of acceleration in our industry in the way that things will be changing that if you can't get comfortable or flexible with that, you're going to get left behind. And it's also exciting because if you're like, I feel like I have never been able to make it. It's like, guess what? If you can just open yourself up to this, there's totally an opportunity for you to join.
Well, yeah. And like, you know, another thing, it's like, even if people aren't willing to adapt and they're going to talk shit, because dude, I'll still get haters. Like all my friends still get haters. You probably do as well. But one of my buddies early on when I was going through like that, you know, era when I first started that pitch and I was only producing at that time. I was like not prepared for, I didn't realize I was doing something different. I was just naive, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody posted like some nasty shit and it just like ruined not only my day, but like my couple weeks, bro. I was just so down in the dumps. I was like, I'm doing everything right and for the right reasons. And like, you know, I'm being, you know, somebody's being critical of me and like saying really rough shit. And one of my buddies, a mentor of mine, but like also one of my best friends, he was like, well, that's like a really selfish way to look at it. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm fucking miserable. He's like, if you don't keep doing what you're doing and you don't keep telling people about what you're doing, knowing that you can genuinely help because you're scared of your ego getting hurt and somebody making fun of you, you are one selfish piece of shit, dude.
Mm.
Like it is actually a selfless move. If you know that what you do can genuinely help somebody, it is a selfless move to tell everybody you can about it.
Oh yeah.
You know? And that was like a huge shift for me because now everybody posts on Reels and they're like, look at what I'm doing. But like earlier on in Instagram days, like you were considered a hack unless you were posting weird avant-garde pictures in like that washed out gray white tone sort of thing. You know what I'm talking?
And like sepia.
Say three words. Yeah. Sepia and saying like three things on your post that meant nothing. It's like, you know, the thing is we're always gonna be a hack, you know?
Yeah. I think I was having this conversation with a friend earlier this week too, is like, especially when it comes to social and posting. And I think especially for producers, it can be really difficult to get into that mindset of like, I got to put myself out there. I got to market. And I don't know what to say. I was just talking with two producers yesterday about that. And they're like, I don't know how to like tell people about this. And I was like, bro, honestly, if you are someone that I enjoy being around, which hopefully you are, because people would want to work with you that way, just show them what you're doing. I've started thinking about it. I was like, I'm just clocking in and I got to find ways that be like, I want to see what my cool friends that I like are doing. Every one of your friends is like, I want to see what you're doing. And someone who might want to be your friend would like to see what you're doing and also be like, hey, let's be friends. This is just a blowout of like, I would like to talk to people. Sometimes they just need that invitation, you know?
Yeah. Why do you think so many, you know, specifically producers, why do you think so many producers are scared to either, Like, let's throw out the term marketing. So honestly hate that term, because like, what does it even mean? You know, I think now when people look at marketing, they're thinking of like some guru asshat, Ty Lopez kind of asshole.
Got to shave your head and then you got to be like,
and it's just, I'm going to make you a millionaire sort of thing. Ultimately what marketing is like a way that people discover somehow what value you can provide for the world. That's literally it. That's all marketing is.
Yeah.
Now, underneath marketing, there's advertising, there's promotions, there's referrals, like there's like all this stuff. But like marketing is just giving a way for people to discover what value you have. And that's it. Why do you think producers are scared about that? Or do you think it's kind of like, I don't know, my inclination is people don't want to look a certain way, or they feel like, I think the bigger thing is like they feel like a fraud because they feel like their heroes just got picked up and they didn't have to do that. You know, so it's like, am I not the real deal because I didn't just land a massive deal with Universal for $1 million?
Yeah.
You know,
I think,
am I failing because I do it the rough way that actually works?
Or
yes,
like,
I have, any of you guys watching on YouTube, I have a cup named Wifey. This is my wife. She's not a Becky type at all. We actually make fun of this cup. Anyways, keep going, bro. Sorry.
No, you're good. I think for me, I can't answer for everyone, but most people that I talk to, especially types that are producers, engineers, anyone who's like more behind the scenes, who isn't really I think if we're honest with all of ourselves, we want to be seen as the ideal of who we think we are. Like, this is our identity. This is who we are. We don't want to be like caught out as a fraud or be like, oh yeah, you don't do this, or you don't make X amount of dollars, work with artists with certain amount of clout or cred, then you aren't legitimate. And I think we're always afraid of being found out for that. And I'm mostly speaking for myself here and being like, okay, Riley, like, no, this is what I'm trying to overcome. Yeah. And I think a lot of us in the same spot is that if you can see yourself and be like, yeah, I am this, and live that out appropriately and be like, yeah, this is me. Hey world, I do this thing and I'm excited about it. I'm proud of it. I think it's good stuff. And you believe that, that's all you need to do. And not to simplify it, but I think there's a lot of us that are stuck being like, I don't want to be seen. I want to hide behind, you know, whether it's, I'm not an artist that puts myself out there, because like producers are artists. They're contributing so much to what's being put out there.
Yeah.
And so it's, I think a lot of it's that struggle between people being like, I just don't want to put myself out there. But I also want everyone to know that that's what I am and that I'm legitimate. And it's like, can't have both.
Right. I think like two, we're going really deep, bro. But
not surprised.
Fuck it. I think a big part of it too is like, I don't think anybody ends up in music that hasn't gone through something in life, just art in general.
Yes.
You don't end up, you know, really like when somebody, one of my buddies, he's an incredible artist, Daryl Ron. He's signed with Secretly Group and just an incredible songwriter. And he said something hilarious. Somebody was like, Daryl, what a gift you have. What a gift. And he was like, really? I don't know a gift that you cry over for 10 years. and like, so it kind of begs the question. It's like, why do we work so hard in this certain direction? And like, also some of my favorite artists, like once they figured out their personal shit, they like made way less music. And I think like part of it is, at least for me, and I've gone to therapy and figured out a lot of this stuff. But when I was in high school, I was like the one Jewish kid in my school. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I'm not going to downplay it. It was pretty rough. Like, yeah. I went through a lot of stuff. And without going into too much detail, you know, I was also the drummer. And people started figuring that out, and I was in bands, I was playing a lot. And once people started looking at me as the drummer, it was almost like they stopped paying attention to the Jewish thing.
Mm.
And I had a point where it was almost like a tick where like I needed everybody to know that I was the music guy. Mm. I was the drummer. I'm the drummer. I'm the drummer. This is what I do. This is what I do. Don't talk about that. This is what I do. And it became like this crazy identity thing. And I remember, you know, years later, this was like mid 2010s. I was off tour. I was, just producing at this point. And I started getting like really depressed and like super anxious because all I was doing was producing. I actually like thought I was just only going to be a touring drummer for my whole life. I didn't, you know, I love producing, but like that wasn't the dream I had when I was 5 years old being in the studio. I just like had always been in studios session drumming. And then I just like had a knack for producing. So anyways, I got to a point where all I was doing was producing. I wasn't drumming as much. And I was going through like a bunch of shit, like anxiety attacks and panic attacks and stuff. And I had no idea. And I started going to therapy. And we kind of figured out like all of these identities of like what you are, so to speak. And it's very common in music because he has a bunch of clients who are in the music industry. He's like, what I found is a lot of times this becomes your identity because you have a previous identity that was something that you needed to fight against. And so when I became like the music licensing guy, which I think most people, you know, for what it's worth, like I'm a multi-platinum producer, but nobody knows that because I'm just the music licensing guy now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother me as much anymore. And what he said was so dope, and I'll never forget this. He said, Mark, you don't have to be cool. You don't have to be cool for people to like you. You know, you just do your thing. You're your own person. You have nothing to do with your own identity, like of whatever it is in music, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, that was a long rant, but like.
Totally relate, man.
Right. I feel like all of us have gone through that.
Yeah.
Did you go through something similar?
Totally.
Were you the only Jewish kid in Kansas City? No,
no, I'm actually not even from Kansas City. I like moved here. Also,
where are you from?
So I grew up in like the Phoenix area and then Denver before that. So more like West Coast kid and then this way.
I'm not from Charlotte either. So yeah. When I moved here, I was the only Jewish. It was like this weird thing. So I was like the new kid, very traumatic. Everyone was like, we don't got those kinds down here. You know, that was over 10 years ago. Now it's like hip as fuck. Everyone here is from New York, but. Anyways,
there you go.
But you went through a similar kind of struggle, new kid sort of thing.
Kind of, but just this whole thing of like, you become known for something and you almost want to live into it because that is a better alternative than living into whatever was hurting you before. And right. I feel like for myself, it was, my background is very much in like, I wanted to play music. I wanted to do this. And my family started going to like a large mega church and like an evangelical mega church and kind of got involved in the production stuff there. And I mean, it's a huge production. Like there's things that like,
oh, I'm familiar, dude.
At like a 14, 15 year old, it's like, yeah, I know how to use inner monitors and like can change keys on the fly. But this was also like 2007. Oh, wow. So like, I'm over here, like, there's so much that I know about production and just mixing and all these things that super privileged to know just from that context. But it's also that context that was like the worst environment for me, hurt my mentality, my personal identity. Like, it was a bad context, but I gained a lot of skills. And so I've just been constantly like, well, how do I get away from this environment that was really hurtful to me? But like, do I even like music? I've gone through this constantly where it's like, do I even like doing this? Or do I just feel like I need to prove something to myself or become something I could never be before? And it's been this whole circle for me to turn around and just be like, okay, but Riley, like if you could just do what you wanted to do or just do things you like or, you know, whatever, like no pressure, what would you do? And that shift has been huge too. It's like not being consumed with this whole like trying to figure yourself out from a third person perspective, but more just like, you can be honest with yourself. No one's going to hurt you. Just show up as yourself and do it, man. Like there's nothing that's going to come back at you. And so I think there's always that like your environment can be a big part of it, but like your internal environment, I think we can neglect a lot of the times to be like, What are you telling yourself? Like, how are you being to yourself? I've had people always be like, man, Riley, like, you're one of my best friends. You're so kind. You're so good to, other people. I'm like, but am I good to me? Like, do I show up and be like, am I good to work with for myself? Am I a good person that doesn't like cause friction within my own workflow? Like, am I just getting in my own way all the time where it's like, bro, you can't do that. Like, you look stupid. No one's gonna do, why do you need to do that again? It's like someone else is already doing it better. Why are you gonna ask for money for something? You're not worth that. It's like, I don't maybe have that self-talk, but some people do, and it's like terrifying. And I don't know. Just I think there's this also hustle thing where it's like, keep cranking on it. Like, you're gonna be better eventually. It's like, or you could just be like kind to yourself.
Just do your thing.
Yeah.
I had a call not too long ago. Do you know Austin from Make Pop Music, Austin Hull?
Yeah. I don't
Awesome
know him
dude.
personally. I just like been following. I think he's doing really cool shit. Another one of those people that I was just like, yeah, just do it.
He's a great guy. We've been friends for a while now. But we had a call not too long ago, and we were both talking about kind of work-life balance sort of stuff. And I think this year he focused a lot more on like personal stuff, which was dope. And I was kind of in a different route where, for both like production, publishing, that pitch, like everything, I was going full on and like reinvesting a lot of stuff because
Yeah.
I knew we had to do certain things. And,
Which is terrifying.
it's terrifying. I mean, some of the, honestly, the biggest investment I've ever made in my whole career. I never thought I'd be doing this. He said something. He was like, if you're gonna be your own boss, be a good boss.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. I'm like, if
That
I'm
was great.
like good at managing people, are you like kind with managing yourself? Like, you're like maybe like, man, I'm like 10 minutes late today. I like slept in, my alarm clock didn't go off. It's like, are you gonna be really shitty to yourself? You're like, man, I didn't get on my schedule that I made for myself. It's like, okay. Or you'd be like, yeah, let's talk about it and reevaluate and being flexible.
I'm like, it's so funny. I'm like such a good, allegedly,
Yeah,
from what
yeah, yeah.
Enoch and like the rest of the team say, it's like they get annoyed because like sometimes I'm scared to just like assign tasks to people because I'm just like, I don't want to take up your time. Like, I know you're busy. And they're like, Mark, like we work here. Like, please, like give us more shit,
Totally.
you know? meanwhile, I'll just like be total workaholic, lose my mind. And yeah, it's kind of funny. You have to constantly course correct. I think also, in any music career, any career in general, but I think specifically in music, we're in an industry that changes every couple of years. There's always money in it, but where the money comes from usually changes every couple of years, So it's a really scary place to be for a lot of people. You have to work 10 years on your craft, and then you got to work another 10 years on how to sell it, And
Yes.
it's very frightening for a lot of people, and there isn't like a next step. Hey, you go do this. It's like, nope, you're likely going to be self-employed.
Yeah. That was that part of my mindset was like, oh, I was applying for all these jobs and in like music producer jobs and producing jobs in marketing because I've been growing that skill of just kind of understanding how that industry works. And I was applying for all these jobs and I would show up and they'd be like, man, you were our second choice. Like, but you didn't get it. And I was like, ah, dang it. And I was getting really down on myself. And then I just had this realization. I was like, bro, like, I'm just gonna be self-employed. Like,
I mean, it comes down to it's like it's really just a math equation,
yeah.
Like
And I'm like, I kind of like
the
the
way
math
that I,
of having control of it for myself. Like, can I be a good boss for me? I was like, I think I could be pretty
right.
good.
Like, I mean, if you think about how much it costs to live,
Yeah.
let's say you live in not New York, LA or London, but like you live in basically every other city in America, you can get by at least for like 3K per month for sure. Like you should be able to get by and be comfortable and not really worried. In my opinion, I also live pretty frugally, so
Yeah.
there's that. But I mean, if you think about it, let's say an artist pays $1,000 for you to do a track, or let's say you have a bunch of tracks that are building royalties and you're placing in catalogs and you're getting sync. I mean, you only need three deals every single month You need 36 deals a year. Look at how many people follow you on Instagram. Look at how many people you know. Look how many views exist on one YouTube video. The world is massive.
Yep.
You know, I was talking to Dame from BeatStars earlier today. He's COO. I think he's head of label now. And, you know, he was telling me they have like between 2 and 3 million people on BeatStars.
Wow.
2 and 3 million. You need three. You need a millionth. A millionth of those people to pay you however much to live per month. And now BeatStars is hip hop. It's like a lot of beats, but like think of how many pop artists exist if you're a pop producer. How many folk artists exist if you're a folk artist? And like, you know, same thing for licensing, YouTube, films, like all the it is a massive industry. You know, you don't need much to live. You don't got to be, this is where everybody gets it wrong. You don't got to be the biggest. You just got to be profitable.
I think that's exactly the point. And I've kind of been thinking this the whole time we've been talking is I was having a conversation with someone where it was one of my artists actually. And he was just like, man, like I'm feeling really stressed about these shows and what's coming up. And he's like, I haven't really written music. And I was like, hey man, like, you know, being a musician is more than playing music. And a big part of it is also being able to like handle the business side of yourself, whether that's building a strong team or recognizing that, you know, what you're doing has to have some kind of good balanced equation. And especially with profitability, I'm finding out like, just finding out, okay, how much time can I put in that's going to like be able to sustain me and also sustain the expenses and like all these things. You're like, I don't know, where was this? And, you know, I've had friends who went to music school and I'm having these conversations where they're like, I don't know what to do. I have this one gig and like, that's how I make money. I'm like, bro, like you gotta be thinking of other opportunities. And I'm like planting some seeds for them. I'm like, you're an amazing music director. You've got so many chops. You're playing like 4 gigs a week that are like 5 or 6 hours. I'm like, you would be great to go on tour with. And you already like run tracks and make tracks for your whole, you know, team. Why don't you look at other people who are going out on tours from other places? Maybe you can hop on some of that or remote producing or just like, there's so many other ways to approach it. And I think if people can expand past just the like, you know, very traditional, like I have this job and it gives me money past that to like more income. I think there's just so much more opportunity for everyone, but.
Yeah. And I think people tend to surprise themselves when they, you know, go full time for themselves. I always say Thug Life chose me because I didn't really have this option. I kind of just did it, but I've always been self-employed.
Yeah.
I've never had a job. So I think unlike a lot of people, I never had to make the switch. I never had to say goodbye because I never really had the option.
Sure.
So I'm kind of just like stuck in this corner. I wouldn't know the first thing about applying for a job, to be honest. But at the same time, it's like I have friends that are mentally so much stronger than I am, and they think that they can't do this. And it's like, no, it's a different set of skills like anything else.
Yes.
You know,
and
it's not. Huh?
I was just saying the skill to try something new and be bad at it.
Yeah.
I think that's like one of the most important skills. And I've been like trying to practice that by doing things like I'm going to be shit at this, but I'm going to just do it.
Oh, dude.
So that I'm like, oh yeah, I actually got way better at this than I thought I would be, way faster, just to prove to myself. So that when something new comes about, it's like, just do it. Like,
yeah,
give it a shot. And also be easy on yourself when it's like, oh yeah, of course I'm shit at this. Like, why wouldn't I be? I've never done it.
It's kind of funny because something that I always try to like talk about or remember myself is like, you should never be hunting. You should always just be planting seeds so you can harvest whenever,
yeah.
You know? And, I think people think that they're just going to land a massive deal and like, it's going to be a slam dunk, but I personally have never had slam dunks ever. I've had layups. And I've had a lot of people say, hey, can you be the towel boy? It'll put you on the court.
And if you love the game, you're stoked to be there.
Yeah. It's like my first licensing opportunity. It was literally just like, I had somebody who was a friend and they asked, could I help with something? I had no fucking clue what I was doing, but I said, yes, I can. I'm going to figure this out. And I did. And here we are, you know?
Yeah.
And like, same thing for production work is, you know, for you, it's like you get in that mindset, you just put yourself out there. It doesn't really matter if I fuck up, but I'm like, I'm going for it. And I might've fucked up this deal, but I got 10 others that, you know, I got, you know, I've planted seeds for. So it's just, you build over time.
Yeah. You're not trying to bat 1,000. You're just trying to hit the ball sometimes.
Yeah. You don't need to get a yes from everybody. You just need a yes from enough people that it pays your rent. And that's it. it's nothing crazier than that, dude.
And guess what? That's successful. Like, you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's like,
what's funny too, is I was, talking to one of my friends and, you know, he's making anywhere between like $3,000 and $4,000 per month or something, in music, and it's stable money. You know, he's got a good client base and like, you know, he's continuing on and he's living for himself and he's comfortable. And, you know, he was like freaking out about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to him, you know, he's a younger guy. He's in his early 20s. And, you know, I had to like kind of give him some perspective of like, dude, like, firstly, you should be really proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Secondly, no matter who tells you, believe it or not, you're actually in the top 1% of the music industry. The fact that you're not worried about your rent next month, that's amazing.
Yep.
You know, and it's not to say you shouldn't strive to make 20 or 30 or 50 or 100K a month, you know, cause that does exist.
Yeah.
You know, and that's amazing. That once you get past the 1%, it starts really, it goes a lot. You know, just talk to somebody who's doing like almost 10 million a year. It's insane. But and that does exist, but like you talk to him and he'll say, it's cool. I'm stoked about it. It's amazing.
And I think, and that's what matters, right? Like, I think we downplay how much that matters. It's like, bro, it's cool to be stoked about what you're stoked about and cool to like what you like. It's like, I think when you set like, this is my goal and I reached it, I think in like any other avenue, it's like, people aren't going to dog on you. If you're like, I'm trying to lose weight and you lose 5 pounds. They're like, fuck yeah. You lost 5 pounds. That's
five whole fucking pounds, bro.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And also like the trade-off, if you try to compare yourself with somebody who has a 9-to-5 and they're like, you know, doing apparently 60K a year or whatever.
Yeah.
Their take home after taxes is what you're making or less, firstly. So you guys are making the same.
Yep.
because you get to declare what is a write-off or not.
Mm-hmm.
At least in US taxes, you know, you get to decide what's a business expense. And if you're self-employed, a lot of what you spend is on your business, you know?
Totally.
And so like, I think people don't realize how good they got it when they got it good.
We got to keep telling them, man.
I know. It's like, dude, you got a placement this month. That's amazing. All of your next ones are going to be likely so much easier because the first one is usually the most difficult.
And I think it's just the mindset of like, can I even get one of these? Like, how much does it take? And then once you do, you're like, oh, I figured out my problems, figured out what it took. And it's like also just waiting. Like, maybe it's just not that month. Maybe that's not what they were looking for. And it's like you said, I'm just trying to show up and sow some seeds. And then wait for it to come back.
And dude, what people forget is like the back end it's insane.
Takes
like,
forever. The bureau.
We have
if you've never worked a corporate job, the bureaucracy, man, and it just goes and goes. And that's how people like make money, I guess. It's just like making it go slower. And I think we're not used to that being like, yeah, I did it. Let's go. Like, what's next? And yeah, I think for some people who've never experienced that, it's like, yeah, you got to kind of almost hedge your bets and be just like constantly working ahead in a way where cool. Gonna wait for that to come back whenever it does. Cause who knows what's happening.
Yep. It's all patience. Well, listen, let's listen to the track that you landed this month. Speaking of that placement. This was for a lo-fi brief that we sent out. And this one's called Umbrella Stroll. I'm going to put this live. Okay, cool. Let's listen to this bad boy.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Loved it, dude. Yeah, so first note as why I think it landed, and you know, I've kind of said this before, but I think people downplay this. It's just a really simple track. It repeats itself. There's enough variables where, you know, somebody could cut it up and have different uses for it. Perfect for dialogue. There's not too much going on. It's just like a really, like, it's a utility track where it can kind of just be used wherever. So I love it, dude. Sounded awesome.
Thanks.
How long did it take for you to make this?
About 3 hours.
Nice, dude.
Just like just
cooking it up
from idea to finished. Yeah.
That's dope. How many tracks do you think you're cooking up per month? Just like for fun.
I
know you're working with clients. Cause when I work with clients, it's like hard for me to write for myself.
Yeah. And so that's kind of been something I'm trying to like chunk out, was like, okay, I need to like just show up and have fun by myself, you know, and like, just like get in and have no pressure on it. Cause I like doing it, you know, and not to forget that when you're, you know, doing it for other people. And so,
right.
Especially with the pitch stuff has been, oh man, I really liked making this lo-fi beat. So I was like, I'm going to pitch a couple more, like just because I like doing it, you know, while I've got less time to do that. I'm like, I'll just chunk out, you know, a couple hours and whatever gets done, I'll pitch. And so I'm probably doing like one or two songs, you know, for myself, amidst, you know, also working on the client work. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's awesome. My whole thing was like, cool. If I get one a month to keep throwing out there, you know, maybe that one lands, maybe it doesn't, but it's still like just a rep, you know?
Well, it's also, it's building your catalog too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just putting your track somewhere where it could make money for you, or totally. It's actively making money for you. It's kind of like a rental property. It's just like, how can I just like have another rental property getting some more cash for me? And you just build that over time. It's like a 401k or like a Roth IRA, you know, it's like you just put in, you know, you just do it. And then you wake up when you're 65 and you're like, this was fucking great. You know?
Totally. And you just don't know where things are going to go. Like all we can do as producers is show up and just make something that, you know, we have an idea of what we're aiming at sometimes, but you don't always have like, you know, the video it's going to get synced to, or like the context it's going to be used in. And so you kind of just are imagining things and throwing it out there, and you don't know when someone is going to need that thing that you maybe made a year ago, that now fits.
So it's just, it's all about quality and quantity. It's just having a bunch of stuff in that gives somebody options. And it's like, wow, it's like, if you go to Amazon, there's a shitload of options, you know, and that's why we all go there. It's like, we know we can find what we need. You know, and if you are making a bunch of music, you know, you have buyers, and it's about showing up with your product line.
Yeah.
And how can people use it?
Totally.
And you just grow it over time. That's it. It's just assets sitting for you. It's awesome. Anyways, dude, any advice you want to give for anybody pursuing their career in music production, sync, anything, living in a, you know, secondary city like yourself, just anything, man. Stuff you've learned this year.
Yeah, I think honestly, it's like whatever scares you to do most, to try, that's the thing you got to do.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's what you got to do. That.
And any pluggables? Where can people find you, reach out, chat with Sir Riley?
Yeah, so currently building some stuff so I can interact with some people some more. But right now, just on Instagram at Riley J. Corbin. It's going to be the best spot to just kind of hang out, talk to me, see what I'm doing. That's probably the best place.
My man. All right. Well, I think, that's about wrapping it up, with Riley today. If you want to chat with Riley, hit him up on Instagram. He just said, if you want to start licensing your music, go to That Pitch. If you want to go get food, go out to eat, just do whatever you want today. Anyways, Riley, thanks so much for joining, bro.
Yeah, of course.